We're still in the 13th chapter of Ezekiel, and we'd gotten down to the 10th verse last time. In this chapter, Ezekiel is talking about the false prophets of Israel, those that are prophesying in Jerusalem and those that are prophesying in the captivity, that are prophesying falsely, that are not truly sent by God, that do not have the message of God. They're the subject in this chapter. And he has said up to this point that these people are most displeasing to God, that God's going to be against them. They shall not be in the assembly of the people of God, neither shall they be written in the writings of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, beginning with the 10th verse, he has some more to say about these false prophets and the way God's going to deal with them. Verse 10, Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Now, these false prophets, true then and just as true today, they say peace when there is no peace. They give people a false sense of security. They make people think they can be saved by continuing in certain sins. They do not teach against the sins. They make salvation available to a type of life that is not available to. And so they give people a sense of security when there is no security. They say there's peace when there is no peace. And we have to be most careful today that we not support a group or those teachers that teach false doctrine. Because when we do, we are supporting people who are giving false security to people. They're telling people that you can be saved by doing this or by not doing that. And that's not true. They're saying peace when there is no peace. They're saying things that lull people, that induce people into a state of life, into a type of practice that God does not approve of, and consequently, they're going to be lost as a result of it. And if we support them, then we are going to be guilty also for not warning them, as Ezekiel was told back in the 3rd chapter. If you have a wicked man, and he's going to die in his sins, and if you don't warn him, then you're partly guilty for his loss. Again, if there's a righteous man who has turned away from God, and you don't warn him, you're going to be guilty if he's lost. So we have a duty. We can't just sit back and say, well, every man for himself. We have a duty to warn those that are in error. And those prophets, those teachers who give them security and say peace in their state of error, then they're wrong, and we would be wrong if we supported them. So they say peace when there is no peace. And one built up a wall. Now here, one of these prophets became so notorious and so predominant that his doctrine, his philosophy, caught on. And he built it up like a wall. He had a foundation for it, and he had all the parts that would build it into a wall, although it wasn't a true wall. It had a lot of weaknesses and a lot of fallacies and things that made it not a true secure wall, but yet others came along and they liked it. They got on the bandwagon, so to speak, and they daubed it with untempered mortar. They added a little bit here and a little bit there. They built onto this same philosophy, this same wall that this man had started. And the things that they used to daub it with, though, was what he calls untempered mortar. It was sorry stuff. It didn't have the ability to stick together or to hold anything. It looked good for a while. Might have been kind of like whitewashing something. And so they worked on this same wall that this man had built. Now, that very same thing is true today with false doctrine. We have those who will start a philosophy or start a religion, start a belief, start a church, so to speak. And it's really based upon the doctrine of this man or this group of men. It doesn't come from God, doesn't come from the Bible. As we all know, the original church was established on the day of Pentecost in this New Testament age, And those that come after that, those that can be dated to men starting an organization after that, then they fall in this same category as one that built up a wall and others that came along and daubed it with untempered mortar. We cannot afford to let that happen to us. We must be sure that what we do comes from the Lord, can be dated back to what the Lord established, what the Lord wants, and has nothing to do with the ideas and the judgments and the imaginations of men. And we may find ourselves working on a wall that somebody has built up. We may find ourselves daubing this thing with untempered mortar. We may make it look so good, and we may work so hard on it. I'm sure you can work just as hard putting on untempered mortar as you can the right kind of mortar, but when you get through, you don't have anything. It's not going to stand. It's going to fall. And so he says in verse 11, "Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it." Now, that's what's going to happen. This will not stand. And it is true, any false doctrine, any wall that somebody builds up that's not God's building, not God's doing, then it doesn't matter how much daubing is done, how many people come along and doctor it up, make it look good, and pawn it off on the others. It doesn't matter about that. It still is going to fall. It cannot stand. I remember in my lifetime, there have been cases of those who have gotten their own doctrine. For example, back in the 50s, there was a man who came out with a book called 1975 in Prophecy. He had all these things that were supposed to come to pass in 1975, and he was just distributing this little book by the thousands, and a lot of people were buying this doctrine. He built up a wall, and they were whitewashing it. They were daubing it with untempered mortar. And now 1975 has come and gone. The little book is not popular at all anymore because it didn't come about like this man said. The wall has fallen. The great hailstones have fallen upon it. And the stormy wind has rent it. It did not stand the test. It was not the truth. I don't care how good it looked, how many people it deceived, how much daubing had been applied to it. It still wouldn't stand the test. And that's what God says about the false prophets. In Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus has a very similar thing to say. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So let us be double sure that the things that we build are built upon firm foundation, that it's built upon the rock, that it's not built upon the sand, something that will stand the test of time, and we know the truth will stand this test. Now, in speaking about the great hailstones and the overflowing shower and the stormy wind that shall rend this wall that had been built by the false prophets, let us note that what God is really talking about is the army of the Chaldeans and their associated armies. And God uses these things as his tool. It looks like in the history book that it's the Babylonians who accomplished this task. But it's really God using them as his weapons and as his tools. For he says in Isaiah 10, verse 5, "O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets." So there he talks about the Assyrian being the rod of his anger, and the staff that's in their hand is really, he says, mine indignation. So God uses these nations. He uses these powers round about to bring about his work, to do his job. And consequently, then, they're just carrying out the will of God. It looks like man's doing it, but really it's God doing this. So that's what he means when he says that he's going to send the shower and the great hailstones and the wind that shall rend it. Verse 12, Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Just where is all this mortar that you put on there? What good has it been? Why didn't it stand the test? We've shown, we've proven that your teaching is absolutely false and it will not stand whenever the storms of time come. Verse 13, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. Again, stating the fact that it's God doing this, it's His fury, it's His anger, and it's His wrath that are going to bring this thing down. And true it is, any time we have a false prophet, remember, we are incurring the wrath of God to support it. If we are false prophets ourselves, God's wrath is turned against us. He doesn't want us in the assembly of His people. He doesn't want us to be written in the writings of the house of Israel. He doesn't want us in the land of Israel. He is turned against us. So we need to be double cautious, very cautious, that we not teach nor support a doctrine that is not the truth. Let us not be found guilty of daubing some wall that a man has built. Let us not be found guilty of embellishing and gilding a doctrine that doesn't come from God. Let's drop those things. Let's get rid of them. Let's get back to the true and the simple and the pure Word of God so that the wall we're building on is a true foundation. The things we're teaching are the truth, do not come from a man. They are not some philosophy of a man. Verse 14, So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So here again states very emphatically that the wall that's been daubed with untempered mortar, that's been established by a false prophet, he's going to bring it down to the ground, and the foundation thereof shall be discovered. In other words, you're going to see exactly what it's made of. There's not going to be any hiding when God brings it down. Now, most of these doctrines can only exist because they are deceptive. They're deceiving the people into believing things that are lies. And if the truth were known, they don't have any foundation. They don't have any true scriptural basis. Those who teach these things, they go through the Bible and they pick out a scripture here and pick out a scripture there and apply it this way and apply it that way, and they can prove anything by doing that, taking things out of context. But whenever it comes the time for discovery, this foundation is going to be discovered and found to not have any scriptural basis. It's not going to be according to the truth. And so it shall fall, and then notice what he says, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof. Now those that perpetuate and establish this kind of a doctrine are going to be consumed right along with it. They're not going to be allowed to stand either. If their doctrine can't stand, they can't stand. Because when the judgment day comes and they are having to give an account for their deeds, they're going to have to depend upon this doctrine that they're teaching for their salvation. And if it's not the truth, if it's not going to stand, then they're going to be consumed right along with it. They're looking to something for salvation that's not God. It's just like looking to idolatry, depending upon this idol made of some stock or stick or stone, depending on him to save you. Well, he's powerless. He's not even alive. He's dead. And if you placed your eternal destiny in the hands of something like that, when it comes time then for the judgment day, you're going to be let down. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be lost. You're going to be consumed along with that because that's what you've placed your stock in. Now, we have to depend upon God and the things of God. And when we do that, then God will bring us through. If we depend upon our own individual efforts and leave God out, if we depend upon the abilities of our friends and our acquaintances and leave God out, if we depend upon our riches or our wealth and leave God out, if we depend upon a nation and all of its resources and leave God out, then we're going to be consumed right along with all these things that are so temporary. And these false doctrines, although they may look good and they may deceive so many people, they really are very temporary. So those then that have built the doctrine are going to be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. That's the bottom line here. That's what God really is trying to get across to the people, this fact, this idea, that I am the Lord. There's not any other Lord besides me. I am the Lord. I want you to know this. I want you to believe this. I want you to live by this rule that I am the Lord. That means any doctrine must be proven to be the Word of God. If it comes from man, if man puts a brand on it, it does not come from God. It cannot be branded with the name or the concept of a man and come from God, because the mind of man is not the mind of God. We must not allow ourselves to be called by the name of a man. I don't care who he is. We must be the people of God and only called by those names that are Bible-approved names. And any man that has started something that we're basing our soul salvation upon, then that man has so deceived us. Not only is he going to fall, but we're going to fall right along with him. So in verse 15 he says, "Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that have daubed it." The doctrine is going to fall. It's going to pass. And those that have daubed it, those that have worked on it, those that have used it as a part of their doctrine, they're going to fall right along with it. They will exist no more. Then he says in verse 16, "To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God." That's who he's talking about here. He's talking about the prophets of Israel, those that prophesy concerning Jerusalem, those which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. There's probably no worse thing that a person can do than to imply that somebody is going to be saved, that somebody is going to be accepted of God, that somebody is going to be able to stand in the judgment day crying peace when really there is no peace. Here this person or these persons are in great danger of losing their souls. They're in great jeopardy daily because of the kind of a life they're living, because of the sin that's in their life, because of the things that they failed to do that God wants them to do. And yet somebody's telling them it's all okay. Everything's fine. You're going to be saved. You are saved. God's pleased with you. Just keep going like you are. Don't change anything. That's lulling them into a sense of false security. That's saying peace, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. All are going to fall. The wall, those that have daubed it, and of course, those that are leaning against it for protection. The New Testament is full of teaching against these false prophets. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, Paul says, in writing to Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." In the 13th verse of that chapter he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all." Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continuing in them. For in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. So Timothy is warned very sternly not to depart from the doctrine, to stay with the things that he knows, to meditate on them, to give himself wholly to them. Again, in Titus, the 1st chapter, Paul, in giving the qualifications of a bishop to Titus, says that this bishop is to be found holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to convince and to exhort the gainsayers. So the bishop has to hold the word as he's been taught. He can't change it. He can't teach just anything he wants to. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them says, even a prophet of their own said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. So Titus is warned about those who would teach false doctrine. And the second chapter of Titus begins with this first verse saying, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That is, he's to speak the things that are appropriate to, things that are in accordance with, in harmony with, sound doctrine. That's what God has demanded of his ministers at all times. We must speak the things, and we're talking about every member of the church, actually. We must speak the things that are in accordance with sound doctrine. We must speak the things that we get from God. And, of course, we get these things from the Bible. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly perfected unto every good work. Consequently, then, let us so dedicate ourselves and so school ourselves that we will not allow false doctrine, we will not be deceived by a false prophet, and we ourselves will not be found being guilty of false prophecy. That's the end of our lesson at this time. Thank you.